This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be having big fun on the bayou tomorrow, that's for sure, because it's National Gumbo Day. We've already started the debate here on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen. Newell will be back next week about which gumbo is the best. Is it chicken and andouille sausage? Is it seafood? Does it have okra? Does it not have okra? Is it with rice or with potato salad? Which hot sauce is best in your gumbo? Everyone seems to have an opinion when it comes to gumbo, and I like it, I love it, and I want some more of it. Keep the text coming on the Oakwinard Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. Gumbo's about more than just fun and good eating. Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser joins us on the live line. Lieutenant Governor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, my friend. Love the cold weather.
Oh, my goodness. We're almost into gumbo weather. I think Tuesday will be more gumbo weather, but you don't really need cool weather to eat gumbo, do you?
No, you don't, but this cool weather helps kick off a good pot for National Gumbo Day. It sure does.
And gumbo is more than just something that we love to eat, love to debate how to best prepare it. Gumbo and Creole and Cajun cooking, and it's all part of the brand that is Louisiana. And one thing we have seen during your tenure as Lieutenant Governor is a massive exporting of our brand across the country, around the globe. We want people to know that what is uniquely Louisiana, and gumbo is among that, is a great reason to either come here and experience it or do whatever it takes to experience it where you are. Either way, both are great for us as a state economically, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's a dish that bleeds Louisiana. The French, Spanish, West African, Acadian influence, so many different ways. You know, Louisiana sometimes is referred to as a big pot of gumbo. Just so many different cultures, the music, everything. And this year we promoted the Year of Music. We'll be in London for the Jazz Fest next month. But next year is our Year of Food, where we'll travel the world promoting all the great foods of Louisiana and get people hungry to come here. I just got back from a tourism trip in India. And, of course, we were talking about National Gumbo Day. And, of course, they're big vegetarians. So they were talking about okra and all the things they put in gumbo that aren't meat. But there's so many different ways to make it. Do you like your potato salad on the side in it? So it's a whole culture here. It's not just a meal. And it's a great way to promote Louisiana.
Now, I'll ask you, and I know that it's probably like choosing your favorite child, so it's really, you don't necessarily want to do it, but if you were ordering one cup, or, well, who orders a cup? One bowl of gumbo right now, what is in that gumbo? What is your current favorite gumbo?
It's got to be all the great Louisiana seafood. You know, we take for granted when we eat that seafood gumbo, how fresh and delicious the seafood is that we're able to get right here out of the Gulf, and it makes it extra special and extra good. We all know the fresh seafood makes it the best. So we have that ability, abundance of good fresh seafood right here in Louisiana, and it's something you can't get everywhere in the country, and we take it for granted sometimes. So I've got to go, you know, with seafood gumbo.
Are you putting okra in that gumbo?
Absolutely.
All right.
My mom used to put everything but the kitchen sink in there. Sometimes you couldn't even identify what it was, but it tasted good.
Yeah, I think we're finding from our listeners so far during the program that that's kind of the one line in the sand that some people draw, though. Some people absolutely have to have the okra in there, and others absolutely do not want the okra in there. So,
well, you can go to nationalgumboday.com. And build your favorite gumbo. We invite people to go on that site, feed your soul, and we'll share that with you, with your site as well. It's it's a great opportunity. It's a great conversation piece. And, you know, is the roux dark? Is it light? There's so many different combinations to gumbo. And it's been around, you know, since 1806 when the first gumbo was talked about and made. So it's something that's been around through generations.
NationalGumboDay.com, and we'll find out which combinations prove to be the most popular and what people come up with. That's fascinating. I am absolutely jumping on that website after the program and taking a look and building my own gumbo. Honestly, my favorite gumbo is the one my wife makes. She makes the best gumbo in the world, so there is that. I'll talk more about that coming up. But it really is part of the brand of Louisiana and so valuable to us as a state because, you know, it's so uniquely Louisiana, the food, the Cajun, the Creole food. It's just stuff you don't find, at least in abundance elsewhere. I, for listeners who know me from my early morning show, know that I am a damn Yankee. And the difference between a Yankee and a damn Yankee is a Yankee comes to visit and goes home. A damn Yankee stays here and lives here. I'm in Louisiana now nearly 30 years, and it is 100% my home. But when I was growing up, and when I would first go back to Chicago to visit, you could not find a bottle of hot sauce or Tony Sachery's seasoning or really much of anything that screamed Louisiana in stores up there. Now, when I go up, I recently went to Chicago and made my entire extended family a huge pot of gumbo, and I was able to find everything I needed in stores there because the Louisiana brand, it has been so well promoted, and people have experienced it now to a point where they demand it everywhere they go.
You're absolutely right. You know, Tabasco, I used to bring cases of it to Houston to my customers because it was right there in Avery Island and around Louisiana, and to now it's all over the world. It's big in India because they love spicy food. So there's a little bit of Louisiana all over the world. And you're a smart man for saying your wife makes the best gumbo because that's the only way I get away with saying my mom makes better than my wife is because she's my mom and that old recipe. But, you know, today and this week, we have all the screens in Times Square stored up a big pot of gumbo, talking about National Gumbo Day and kicking off the year of food for Louisiana. And we're getting a lot of feedback from New York about seeing it up there on the screen with Louisianans that are there and people that have visited here that are touching us on social media saying it's making them hungry for Louisiana. So we're kicking it off this week to promote the Year of Food next year on a big way in New York today.
And just hearing about National Gumbo Day, I got to imagine we'll have some people be remembering that great gumbo they had last time they were in New Orleans or last time they were in Louisiana and going, sitting down and scheduling another trip to come visit us.
It really does. You know, Samantha Carroll, who's been with me all day, she's our executive director of the Seafood and Marketing Board. She's also a great chef and a restaurant owner. She just got back from Japan, where she put on a big display of all of our favorite recipes and how we make certain things. And she says, you know, when you leave people with that on the tip of their tongue, they're hungry to come here to experience that. And that's why we're so blessed to have, you know, of course, the great musicians and music, but the great chefs and recipes and dishes that you can only find made here in Louisiana to lure people here to feed their soul.
And no matter how much Tabasco or Tony's or whatever else it is Louisiana you can buy elsewhere around the globe and across the country, it's not the same as sitting in an authentic New Orleans or Louisiana restaurant or sitting down with your friends or family in Louisiana and eating it here and getting that seafood that was just caught that morning or yesterday or whatever the case may be. It just tastes better here.
It really does, and like you talking about the seafood, it's that fresh ingredients, and it's something special that goes in it here in Louisiana. It's that love and passion people have for cooking up a good pot.
So while tomorrow is National Gumbo Day, and you can go on the website nationalgumboday.com and create your favorite gumbo, as you've been saying a few times now, next year is the year of food to promote Louisiana. And obviously that includes far more than just gumbo. Tell us what the year of food is going to look like in terms of how you're going to promote our cuisine across the country and around the world.
So we'll be taking our great chefs to all the food events all over the country and all over the world. And, of course, just like the Music Fest where we promote music, people go to those events. They love to eat. They love to create dishes. So when we bring those chefs and they cook up their special dishes and share it with them, it gets them excited about coming here. And we do far better doing those things than just running an ad. We'll also be sharing recipes and cooking videos around the country and around the world through social media and telling them where they can get all these unique dishes from a muffalata to jambalaya to all the great dishes only here in Louisiana and lure them to our website to get excited about coming here. The music and the food are our two great assets that we have, plus the 400 fairs and festivals that cook that unique food and music that gives us great tools in our toolbox that other states would love to have to promote their state.
How is tourism doing? We talked to Dr. Lauren Scott last hour about the fact that the convention business still has not recovered from the pandemic. The companies aren't holding as many conventions, as many people are not attending conventions, and that's been a strain on the convention side of the tourism economy. That aside, overall, how is tourism for the state of Louisiana and for Greater New Orleans doing since the pandemic?
Yeah, we had five record-breaking years leading up to COVID. In 2019, over 53 million people visited Little Louisiana, left behind $1.9 billion in taxes that you and I didn't have to pay. That's over $1,100 per Louisiana family. Last year, we were a little over 44 million, not quite back to that record number. I think we're going to break a record this year. And what we've done is, but promoting Mardi Gras all over the state, not just New Orleans. Not everybody can afford New Orleans or wants to bring their kids in the French Quarter. So we've brought visitors from all over the world to Mardi Gras in Shreveport, Morgan City, Lafayette. We also have been promoting road trips because of the airline hiccups. We've been getting more drive. We also promote sports tourism, not just the big Super Bowls, but Olympic trials. We had volleyball in Shreveport, Dizzy Dean World Series in Ruston. So we've been plugging these small sporting events all over the state. And then I've been reaching out. I just took over as president of the Aerospace States Association. I know nothing about space, but I told them I would take over from the Colorado Lieutenant Governor only if they moved the conference to New Orleans. We had it here a few months ago. So we're encouraged. I'm working on the Lieutenant Governor's Conference to come back here. We're reaching out to these groups to help fill those gaps in New Orleans, to bring those small conferences here. We offer free seafood. If you bring your event here, we'll pick up the tab the first night and have a seafood cookout to save you some money. Bring that event to New Orleans. Bring it to Louisiana. And so I think it's just doing a lot of work and getting back to getting all those conventions back. And we got a $300,000 a year grant for the next 3 years to go to three new international markets from the federal government because they're putting up money to bring more international visitors to America. And we've had such success at the international market, they wanted us to reach the three new markets. And that was Italy, Spain, and I just got back from India. So we're going to be opening our doors to three new international markets that will be huge for Louisiana because they stay longer, they spend more money, and they don't just see one city. They want to get off the beaten path and see how we live. They go to other small cities and towns all over Louisiana.
So the future is bright, and of course that Super Bowl early next year is definitely going to help. You think next year we get back to that record-breaking level of tourism here in Louisiana. Wouldn't that be great? Before I let you run, I do want to talk just briefly a little politics and get your thoughts on the proposed changes to the Louisiana tax code and the tax breaks and incentives that may be lifted depending on what the legislature tries to do with the governor's suggestions. Specifically, when we talk about the sales tax, there could be sales tax placed on services provided in Louisiana under this plan. That would include musicians, entertainers, and others who don't currently have to charge their client sales tax. How would that influence what you do and the tourism here, along with the discussion of getting rid of tax credits, including the film tax credits?
Yeah, I'm very concerned. And before we cut off our nose and spite our face, we need to look at the impact to the state. You know, I've been pushing for it, and my father and Dave Treen tried to pass the quail tax. And I don't call it a tax. I call it a fee. But a small fee on processed fuels, 90% of it leaves the state. And I think it would have brought in $40 billion. Today with the LNG exports, we probably would see more money than we could spend. We could get rid of income tax, pay our teachers and our police $100,000 a year. What else do we need? And because John Bell gave local government the authority to take away that 10-year exemption on the land, and the local governments are doing it, ConocoPhillips shut down, Plaquemines took that, we could give them the land free forever. Let us put a fee for using our roads, bridges, in the air, in the river, on what you're producing here for the rest of the country. Now, we couldn't exempt Louisiana residents, but I believe, I'm not a lawyer, but I believe we could do like Alaska, and every Louisiana resident would get a rebate check back. Talk about people move back to Louisiana then, but it's time to, and I made my living in the oil and gas, but this is a fair fee that would solve all our financial problems and allow us to do some things, much needed things, in Louisiana, and I hope the legislators will look at something like that before we look at severe cuts or things that would have a negative impact on tourism, which was the fourth biggest industry before COVID. And as I mentioned, the tax dollars, it's good, clean, fun, and it's a great tax resource. And we better make sure whatever we do does not damage that industry as we come back after COVID.
So will you be lobbying the legislature during the special session to look at those kinds of fees or taxes versus getting rid of the film tax credits or requiring folks providing services in Louisiana to start charging sales tax and potentially hurting their bottom line?
Yes, I'm actually meeting with the governor's team next week, and I've been giving this white sheet out on this proposal that was proposed by Governor Dave Treen. And it was the largest lobbying effort in the history of Louisiana. When he did the press conference, they hired every lobbyist to kill it. And I've been giving it to teachers, sheriffs, everybody for about a year now. We ought to consider this or something like this that's a fair use tax fee. I don't call it a tax. That could really make a difference for our future for generations to come.
Louisiana Lieutenant Governor.
I will be talking. So
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I will be talking it up, and hopefully we can get them to consider it.
All right. Well, we appreciate your joining us here today on the Newell Norman Show, and you have a fantastic National Gumbo Day tomorrow. There's no reason not to celebrate it to its fullest, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Coming up, I want more of your calls and texts at 504-260-1870 ahead of National Gumbo Day. How do you make the perfect gumbo? Go to nationalgumboday.com and play with that creator, but also text us and call us and tell us how your gumbo should be built. And we'll also get the commissioner of the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles in here next. Are you finally going to absolutely have to get a real ID or not? We've been talking about it, it feels like, a decade now. In for Newell Norman on this Friday. Tomorrow's National Gumbo Day. We just talked to the Lieutenant Governor about that. And texts are coming in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870 about your favorite gumbos. One says chicken and andouille, no okra, with a dollop of potato salad on top in the bowl. Somebody else says, I love potato salad in my okra, but I love the rice too. Sometimes I alternate them. Keep the text coming at 504-260-1870 as we shift gears to talk with Dan Casey, the Commissioner of the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles here on the Newell Norman Show. Commissioner Casey, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. I appreciate it. Good morning. That's a hard segment to follow. I now have on my mind is seafood gumbo with okra, which is absolutely my favorite, which I'll be making tomorrow.
All right. You'll be celebrating National Gumbo Day appropriately. We appreciate that. I was going to ask you, but you know what? That's every guest I've had so far has not waited for me to ask because they're so excited to tell me about their favorite gumbo.
It's fun to make. It's a family event, and we all enjoy it.
Absolutely. The Office of Motor Vehicles, I think for the better part of a decade now, we've been hearing that we need to get a real ID. I actually got mine last year, and it wasn't that difficult to get. I just had to bring in a few extra resources with me when I got my driver's license, and it cost a few more bucks. But we've been told forever now, it feels like, that we have to get the real ID. Are we getting to a point where the federal government's finally going to make it to a point where the Louisiana OMV is only going to issue real IDs?
No. We will always give the consumer or the resident they still have a choice. They can get an ordinary ID. The real ID is required, will be required on May 7th, 2025 to travel or to enter into a public state or federal government building. So as far as Louisiana goes, we'll continue to issue our standard identification cards and driver's licenses, but we're going to encourage folks to get real ID. And just for the record, when they created the real ID, it was for jurisdictions, not Louisiana, but other states that did not follow what we were doing, which is the requirement for an ordinary ID is your birth certificate, Social Security card or Social Security number, two proofs of where you live, your residency, and or your current passport. That is required today and has always been required. The difference when they created Real ID, we weren't keeping copies of those in our system. So you're really just reestablishing the original credentials with us to get us to issue you the Real ID. And we make copies and those go and behind those, behind the issuance for proof that you've presented that to us. So we've always required. And but I'm hoping that more people opt to get the gold star on their driver's license and get their real ID.
All right. So the real difference for most people is that while they may have presented those documents when they got their first ID or driver's license, they're going to have to bring them back so you can make copies of them and retain those to get a real ID.
That's correct, Dave. And, you know, if anyone has any wants to know what they need, they can go to www.expresslane.org/realid, and it will give you a little list of those documents that I just mentioned. And if you do want to come in, the other thing is I'd strongly suggest that you go to Express Lane to our appointment section, which has been working great, where people can walk, get in and out of our offices more efficiently. And tomorrow,
I've got to repeat what you just said, because this is something new to me. I didn't even know that. So instead of going, grabbing a number and sitting, depending on which office you go to, for a number of minutes or hours, you can now go to expresslane.org and make an appointment to go to any OMV office in the state?
That's correct.
Wow, that's big news. That's life-changing.
It is great. And the good news is, for those that have to work, tomorrow, October 12th, we have a reinstatement / real ID clinic at the Veterans Office, 100 Veterans Boulevard. We're going to be fully staffed. And we still have appointments available tomorrow afternoon if they go to that expresslane.org/appointments and just walk in, get your real ID, or if you have a insurance issue or a compliance issue on reinstatement and you want to get that done, we can help you clear that up tomorrow.
Because I think there are a few things in this world that people fear more than that once every now 8 years, because you can't do it online twice in a row, that once every 8 years they have to go to the OMV to get their renewal. Now that you can get an appointment to do that and you can get in and out much more quickly, that's game changing. Commissioner Casey, I want to personally thank you for that. And maybe you won't be the butt of all the jokes about the worst places in the world going forward, because always people say it's the DMV or OMV, right?
Right. It's and we are the OMB, and we're the only OMB in the United States. So we're a little different because we Louisiana is always different. So we're the Office of Motor Vehicles, and we have improved some other things. We've had a lot of complaints in the past about our call center because people couldn't get through. We made some changes, and we used to get 250 to 2,000 voicemails in the evening that we would try to return the calls because they couldn't get through, a 50% drop. We've reduced that to almost zero. My entire 500 people team now does at least 4 hours a week on the call center, helping and supporting people calling in.
Wow. So whether you're calling in or going in, the wait times have been dramatically reduced. That is some of the best news we've heard in a long time.
We're trying, and I've got a great team, our team really wants to serve and help the public.
We're talking with Dan Casey, the commissioner of the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, he's going to tell us about a nearly $8 million federal grant that the OMV has now and how it affects people with commercial driver's licenses and how it aims to combat human trafficking in Louisiana. We'll talk about that when we come back. If you have any questions for the commissioner of the Louisiana OMV, you can jump on the live line and the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870, and we'll get as many of your questions for Dan Casey coming back right after this on WWL. Tomorrow's National Gumbo Day. Do yourself a favor and have some gumbo. But what kind of gumbo? Texts are coming in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. One says it's not gumbo without okra. Look up the word gumbo. I get that. But things evolve and change, and I think it's okay to have gumbo without okra, and it's great to have it with okra. I don't think we have to have that fight anymore. Somebody else says chicken kielbasa gumbo, seafood crab, shrimp, and okra gumbo, and turkey and oyster gumbo. Ah, that's the wonderful thing about gumbo, is there's so many ways to make it, and most of them are really, really good. We do have some traffic to warn you about. If you're coming in from Kenner to Metairie, we have a wreck right past Williams before you get to Veterans, and it's got traffic backed up all the way to Loyola. Airline Drive right now is looking free and clear, and Veterans Memorial Boulevard isn't too bad right now. So if you want to do yourself a favor and not get stuck in that mess, if you're coming from Kenner into Metairie, you might want to take Airline in and then rejoin at Veterans or Clearview, or take Veterans to get around all that mess. You got about 2.5 miles of backup right now. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Newell will be back next week. Today we're talking about a number of issues, including what's going on at the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles. Commissioner Dan Casey is our guest right now. And you've got a whole lot of money, $7.7 million to improve the commercial driver's license program. And I understand that there are a lot of complaints about the CDL. What are you going to do with this money, and how is it going to make life better for professional drivers?
Well, I tell you, Dave, actually about 2.5 of the 7.7 is for CDL drivers and for improving their projects. The other $5 million is for human trafficking education and to combat human trafficking. But I'll go with the CDL first to let you know. We have a staff that needed some overtime. We want to go out and check our CDL testers. We have a bunch of examiners. We have 76 examiners statewide, 45 companies, and our folks that to take care of that, we have four guys on our CDL team that has to go out, spot check, et cetera. And it's a big task for four people to do it statewide. We've come up with an idea. It's not an original idea, but we saw it we talked to another jurisdiction at a recent conference. But we're considering and we're planning to use a little bit of this money to use body cams for those 76 examiners so that we can hold them accountable on every test, much like the police officers use, where the public holds them accountable. And that way I know that the people are being properly tested. They're going through the entire inspection of that 18-wheeler, doing the road test, and all of the above. Because we've had some problems in the state, and we want to improve it. We want to make our roads safe and for our other drivers. Currently, we issue approximately 13,500 licenses a year. That's a lot of tests. We plan
four
in also
people,
to buy some.
Four people four conduct people. The test for 13,500 licenses.
No. We have 76 examiners that do the tests for 13,000. We have four people checking those 76 examiners.
Okay, going behind them and making sure everything was done correctly.
That's right. And and we're purchasing some testing computers that will be used in about 150 testing computers and about 175 workstation computers. So, and some digital display boards so that we can educate folks in our offices and both on CDL testing and CDL driving and also on human trafficking and what to look for.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that human trafficking initiative in a moment. But Commissioner Casey, Sam is calling in. He's a CDL holder. Sam, time is short, so if you could very quickly kind of present your issue to the commissioner and let him answer your question, please.
Hi,
go ahead, Sam.
Yes, sir. You there?
We're here.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm only here temporarily thanks to AT&T. With the wait times, at least at Veterans and Harvey on the expressway, is that there's no change whatsoever. You know, so I'm not sure where this gentleman goes. But the way around that, though, if you go online, you can make an appointment with the satellite offices as long as you don't have to get there this week. And I know this firsthand. My friend, Handyman, he had gotten into a wreck, the poor guy. My bad luck rubs off. Some glare caught him, and he accidentally hit a Gretna police car. Because of that, they took his driver's license. So after he paid the fine, he had to go to the...
Sam, we can't really... I don't think Commissioner Casey can address specific issues. Do you have any questions for Commissioner Casey?
No. I was just wondering why he said that the wait times are a lot less when they're not.
Okay, you know? Thank you. We appreciate the call, Sam. Can CDL applicants also make an appointment?
Yes, they can. But I will address those two offices. We have a 25% vacancies in our agency and shifting assets. And Veterans in Harvey, I do agree, still has a wait because we accept walk-ins. But if you have an appointment, we try to see you at that appointment time. But when you walk in, we have two people in Veterans and one person in Harvey that works on those walk-ins who do have to wait. And then if an appointment doesn't show up, then an appointment person pulls somebody from the walk-in lines. But I agree with Sam. We still do have those long lines at those two offices, but we're addressing them. And tomorrow we pulled people from all over the community to work Veterans. And so instead of having our normal 16, which is short by four, normal 16 employees, we'll have over 22 employees, I believe, working that. And we'll have some working on the phone lines.
All right. So bottom line, if you really don't want to wait, you're probably better off making an appointment at not one of the two biggest of the offices, the one on Veterans or the one in Harvey.
Exactly. I mean, Mandeville, I would venture to say the waits usually, except Fridays we get busy, probably 15 or 20 minutes. If you do pick, like Sam suggested, an outside office or more rural office, he's correct. That's a smart move.
Yeah, the last time I needed to go, I went to the A-Meat office, and I think I was in and out in 10 minutes, but then y'all moved it to a bigger location. Now, I think it's about a 20-minute wait, so there is that. Let's talk about that other $5 million that you have available to combat what really is a serious issue, and I don't know that most Louisianians understand the depth and breadth of the problems with human trafficking. They hear it. It sounds like kind of an oblique term, and you know that I'm not sure everyone knows what it is, but we legitimately have problems in this state, particularly with our proximity to ports and to Texas and being a thoroughfare between Texas and Florida, that people are kidnapped. People are turned into sex slaves. People are being held against their will, and your office is trying to do something about that.
We are, and we're blessed that the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration gave us this money, and this will be our second grant. We've been trying to educate especially the CDL drivers and the truck drivers because they're our eyes in, on the road. So that's who we are targeting to be almost our first responders on creating or reporting human trafficking. You know, each year, millions of men and women and children, and I want folks to understand, men, women, and children of all ages are trafficked worldwide. And in 2023, we had 1,743 confirmed, suspected, and unknown victims of human trafficking received services here in Louisiana. So it's not a small segment. And again, what percentage are we catching? So with this $5.5 million, we're using all types of media, written, both commercials, you know, the small TV screens, that you see by the gas pump. Mm-hmm. When you pull up to the gas pump, you may see a human trafficking commercial on what to look for. We'll, you know, explain on posters and cards. We have QR codes where if you walk into the gas station and you think you've seen something, all you have to do is point your camera. It'll send you directly to our website where you can report it and give us the information, and a first responder can investigate and hopefully help that person that you suspect is a human trafficking victim.
Well, $5.5 million is a significant pot of money that hopefully can be used to address this. And we know, unfortunately, that when we have major events here like the Super Bowl early next year, we usually see increases of people being human trafficked into the area. And I think the timing couldn't be any better. And people should look for the information, how to identify it and how to report it, because it probably is a much larger problem than most people realize.
It really is. And, you know, we're working with the Office of Human Trafficking Prevention with the governor's section and coordinating with LSP, the state police, and other communities, those sheriff's offices. And, you know, it's a group effort, and we appreciate everyone's support. And we're very, like I said, lucky to get this money. It's over a 4-year period, and we plan to spend it wisely and try to reach out and touch as many people as we can to get them educated on this problem.
Commissioner Casey, we appreciate you taking out a little of your Friday to share this information with people. And now that I know I can make an appointment next time I got to go to the OMV, you've made my life so much better. So thank you. Enjoy some gumbo tomorrow.
I will. I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you for letting me have this time.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Dan Casey, the OMV commissioner here in Louisiana. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. More of your texts coming up next at 504-260-1870 on what is the best gumbo. Spirited debate on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line about the best gumbo. People are pretty evenly split on whether or not it should have okra in it and whether it should be chicken and sausage or seafood. Keep the text coming at 504-260-1870 and let me know what is your absolute favorite gumbo. And we'll continue the conversation next hour. Someone also texted in and wanted me to ask the OMV commissioner when state inspection sticker requirements will be eliminated. I didn't ask him because that's not his purview. He has nothing to do with that. That was the legislature, and lawmakers were ready to vote to get rid of the inspection stickers that we put on our vehicles. It was greatly agreed in the legislature that they do not make us safer on the road and that it is a money grab. They were getting ready to get rid of them, But then Louisiana State Police came in and said, wait a minute, if you get rid of the inspection stickers, we're going to lose too much revenue and it's going to be detrimental to our ability to operate state police. So they ultimately decided that rather than get rid of it because it makes sense to get rid of it, they didn't because of the financial impacts on state police. Ooh, that irks me.